So we just finished watching the film Harriet yesterday. Man, what a great movie, right? We had two showings of it yesterday. We had a big crowd up here. What a powerful story. I first heard of Harriet Tubman when I was a little bitty kid. We had a biography of Harriet Tubman, a kid's book at my house, and so I actually grew up hearing about Harriet Tubman from my parents, along with some other notable figures from history. And the thing that really struck me about Harriet is she was somebody that was born into slavery, treated horribly, had a serious brain injury from abuse as a little kid, struggled with spells of passing out and falling asleep her whole life, but she ends up escaping slavery. But because she remembered what it was like to be a slave, she kept going back into enemy territory, grabbing her friends and family and bringing them with her to freedom. And not only that, man, she even is one of the only women that ever has led and been in combat. She was a leader in the Union Army. And in addition to freeing slaves as a person before the Civil War, during the Civil War, she was responsible for freeing like 750 slaves with her regiment. I mean, you talk about an amazing story. We're going to jump right into it this morning. I've got a clip that we're going to show. So the way this is going to work in Real Truth Cinema is we show some clips from the movie that we viewed on Saturday. And then we're just going to talk about the truth that we find in Scripture from those. If you haven't seen the movie, this is still all going to make sense, okay? I promise. Let's go ahead and show that first clip.
Yeah, mama tell you how. Keep that hand on the gospel plow. Just keep that hand on the plow. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on.
I want y'all to hold on to some words from Colossians 3:22. Slaves, honor your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eyes are on you and to curry their favor, but do it with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. You've got some notes in your bulletin if you want to pull those out. It's going to have most of the scriptures we're going to look at on them. It's also going to have a space for you to take some notes. I want to set the context for this by actually looking at the passage that the Reverend there alluded to in this scene. That's Colossians 3:22. This is not on your notes. We're going to put it on the screen. But Colossians 3:22 through 24 says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Okay, I just want to say, people have used the scriptures, the Christian scriptures, to justify American slavery. That's something that was done in the 1800s. We saw an example of it right here in the scene, okay? And one of the problems that people have with the Bible is they say the Bible justifies things like slavery. There's a little more to it than that. This passage right here was written 2,000 years ago. If you're going to understand what the Bible teaches, you first have to hear the Bible like it was heard by the original people that this letter was written to. I train the men that I work with to do this, but if you're going to understand the Bible and practice good biblical interpretation, you first have to go back and look at the historical context that a passage is situated in. This passage was written to Christians in Rome during the first century. If it's Colossians, it was probably in the 60s AD, okay? So we have to say, what was it like back then? Was there a one-to-one comparison of slavery in Rome at this time and slavery in 1800s America? The answer is absolutely not. It was a totally different deal. For instance, racial factors in Rome played no role in whether you were a slave or not. Not only that, education for slaves in Rome was greatly encouraged. By this time in Rome, slaves had rights. Did you know slaves could travel frequently, freely? They could own a certain amount of property. They could even make complaints against their masters if they were being abused at this time. Slavery in this context is more akin to employment. Okay, does that make sense? Now, this gets complicated because prior to this in Rome, slaves were abused. They were treated poorly. They were treated poorly, and it still happened at this time. But to make a one-to-one comparison, to say that these passages justify the kind of treatment slaves underwent in America in the 1800s, guys, there is not a one-to-one comparison in terms of the treatment or the situation, okay? You want to know what the Bible says about, well, let me just read this, okay. Look at 1 Timothy 1:9. We're going to throw this up on the screen. And again, guys, this is just to set some context, okay? This is something that Paul wrote to Timothy. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those who practice homosexuality, for slave traders. You guys ever seen that before? Okay, and liars and perjurers and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine. Guys, by the time you get to 60s AD, first century Christianity, slave trading was not a thing, hardly anymore. Because in Rome, guys, Rome was built on the idea of slavery as large-scale employment. Okay, that's an easy way to think of it. Most people that became slaves at this time in Rome were born into it. Did you know that most slaves at this time in Rome, by the time they were 30, would be completely free? They would be made Roman citizens and get all of the rights that came along with being a Roman citizen. The only thing they couldn't do is run for office. Now, their children, if they had children after they were freed, their children could run for office. They could still vote. They had all the rights. Did anybody in here know that? Okay, by the time you were 30, you could reasonably expect to be completely free and be a Roman citizen and have all of the benefits of that. Slave trading still occurred, where people would go and kidnap folks and force them to be slaves, like pirates and you know, raiding parties. That still happened. Guys, that is called a sin in the Bible. Now, in 1800s America, how did people become slaves? Well, we went and bought them from people who went and made them slaves and enslaved them and brought them over in slave ships and things like that to the U.S. And then people were born into slavery here in our country. Did they ever have a chance to be free? No, absolutely not. Were they treated horribly? Yes. And that's another thing, guys. In Rome, slaves were generally treated pretty good by this time. And the reason was, the popular idea was, if we trade our slaves good, they're gonna work hard for us. Now, there were still abuses. There were still people that were made sex slaves and things like that. That kind of stuff still happened in the first century. But the average normal experience of a slave is that I'm going to have a job, I'm going to have food, I'm going to have a place to live, I'm going to adopt the social class of my master. So there wasn't like a slave class. You became whatever class your master was. And then I'm going to be freed when I'm 30, and I'm going to get all of the benefits of being a citizen and all of the benefits of having this social class. Even if my master is a higher social class, well, I get to be in that social class. Now, that's a lot different than American slavery, is it not? Way different. And the stuff we did here in this country, guys, is a sin. The way we treated people is a sin. And if anybody comes along and says the Bible justifies any of that crap, they're full of it. They don't know what they're talking about. Okay? Not true.
So we're going to talk about how to become a freedom fighter. And so the very first thing, the F of the acronym, is to figure out my situation. Okay? So what we mean by that, you really have to understand your enslavement. You have to really understand what is holding you and what has mastery over you. So we're going to watch this first, this next clip, and then I'll come back and talk about it more.
Brutus, can I get a word?
Master Brutus, I think you know Minty's husband, John. He worked with me over at Thompson Mill.
Of course I know him. I let him marry her. What's your point?
Me and Minty, we thinking about having a family. And we want our babies bone free. So we hired a lawyer that made it clear that...
You hired a lawyer?
Well, sir, what we're talking about is the last wishes of your great-granddaddy, Adolf Patterson. He gave my wife, Rick, to your mama as a child, but she's supposed to be freed at 45. She's 57 now.
Well, you got this, Will?
Got a letter from the lawyer, sir. Hey, he said it clear.
My mama was 46 when you sold my sisters. Lawyers say that illegal. We all supposed to be free when she turned 45. My sisters is lost to us, but John and me, we want our babies born free like they supposed to be.
Now you listen here, girl. Your daddy may be free. And your husband too. But you, and your mama, and your brothers and sister, they belong to me for life. And your babies will belong to me, and their babies will belong to me. Do you understand me?
You're the devil! You're the devil, and his brothers! You sold my daughter south where nobody knows their name!
Come on.
John,
my babies.
You and Ben ain't welcome here no more. You stay away from my slaves.
So in this scene, they get a letter and they're fighting because at a certain time, at 45, Harriet's mom was supposed to be set free. So can you imagine your life thinking, when my mom gets 45, she'll be free, which means I'll be free. So Harriet really didn't understand her enslavement until this moment where he said, you will never be free. Your children will never be free, and your children's children will never be free. And when we look at our lives, a lot of times we don't realize that we are enslaved. We're just living our lives. If you look at 2 Peter 2:19, it says a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him, whatever has mastered him. What in your life has mastered you? What controls you? Are you a moody person? Are you prideful? Are you arrogant? Do you have a love of money? Are you selfish? Do you have anger issues? All those things are what's mastered you, and that is what you're sent to. And then in Romans 6:16 it says, don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. And there's a choice. And we'll see in this movie, and I love this movie, that she makes this choice. Harriet makes this choice. So the R in our freedom acronym is resolve to become free, to make the decision, not just hope that it happens, or maybe if I just wish really hard, it will happen, but the resolve, the determination to make the decision to become free. Where in your life, guys, have you not made that decision? There's usually an area of our life where we're like, maybe I'll be free from this if someone else does it for me. But there is a resolve for Harriet to become free. So the question is that you need to ask yourself is, do you really want freedom? Or are you comfortable where you are?
That's a super important question. I know we have a lot of addicts in the room. I'm one of them. So I struggled with drug addiction for years. It's not hard to quit. It's hard to want to. That's what I tell people all the time. When you just make up your mind to do it, it's really not that hard. It's just hard to want to. And it's the same with sin. Like, we talk about giving our lives to Christ and becoming Christians. Guys, it's not hard to do when you decide to do it. It's just hard to want it so bad that you don't want the other stuff that you're engaged in. You know what I mean? So you got to ask, do I really want this? The E in our freedom acronym is engage in movement toward freedom. Here's why this wanting it is so important, guys. If you want to get better, you got to move. You got to do something. You can't just sit around saying, oh, I hope things get better. You got to do something. You got to. Let's watch that next clip.
Hey, you intend to run?
They gonna sell me south. Away from my husband and family.
Which means they motivated. You money to them. Unless word spread, you run off. Then you damage goods. They'll beat you, hobble you, or worse. Now you go alone. You got about a hair's chance in a foxglove. Slavers don't get you than the copperheads or the timberwolves will. Can you even read, child? Maybe nobody notice you're gone. Maybe you sneak back for daylight.
I ain't going back. I won't be free.
There's not much time. It's near midnight. You got to be miles away from here before dawn. Now I need you to remember what I tell you. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
Fear is your enemy. Trust in God. The North Star will guide you. Follow that North Star. If there are no stars, just follow the river. If you can't see the river, listen for it. When the river split, cross the high bridge over the Russian Creek and head straight north.
So you notice there, she had to do something to get to freedom, right? And we look at that and we're like, well, of course. She had to run north to get across the border in order to get into the territory where she was considered free. Guys, it's the same with you. It's the same with me. When we're enslaved to sin and we say, I want things to get better, we've got to move. Right. And Reverend Green gives her directions. And what did she have to do? Could she just get the directions and say, oh, thanks, I'm good now? No, she had to put one foot in front of the other and move. Because it's the same in your life. You say, I want my life to get better. I want things to change. I want to get right with God. I want to have this relationship with God. Okay, we're going to give you some directions. Actually, God's going to give you some directions. And then you got to put one foot in front of the other and move. It says in Romans 6, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Guys, what do you do with a dead person? You bury them, right? You bury them. It's the same with us. Whenever we say, I want things to change, I want my life to get better, I want to have a relationship with God, first you got to die. You say, my old way of life is dead. I'm done. Well, we're going to bury you when you die. Just like Jesus was buried in a tomb, just like Jesus rose from the dead and walked out of that tomb into this new life, this resurrected life. It's the same with us. We die, we're buried, just like Jesus was buried, just like Jesus rose back. We're going to bring you up out of that water and you're going to walk a new life. That's why it says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a what kind of life? Does it say old life? Does it say the same life? No, it says new life, right? You want a new life. Well, this is the path. You got to move. You got to get engaged. You got to get in there with Christ. You got to move this direction. It says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Anytime you see the word if, you need to circle it. Okay? That's a conditional sentence. Let me read it the opposite. If we have not been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also not be united with him in a resurrection like his. Do you guys know we can actually translate it that way from the original language if we wanted to? Because of the type of sentence this is? Okay? For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. You gotta move. What did the Reverend say? Fear is your enemy. Trust in God. Guys, is it afraid? Is it something to be afraid of when we decide, I'm going to walk away from my old way of life and I'm going to embrace this new life with God? Is that scary? The answer is yes. Why? Because I'm giving up control of things. I'm giving up things that I found comfort in. I'm giving up the way things have been. And I'm doing something different. And guys, different can be scary. Isn't it good that you don't have to do it by yourself? You don't have to. That's what the church is for.
So the next E is endure risk. I'm not a risk taker. Well, not naturally. I like to have things planned out. I like to know what's happening next. I like to know the schedule, the game plan, how long I'm going to be there, and when I'm going to be home. Okay? But to be a freedom fighter, someone who fights for their freedom, you have to be a man or a woman who is willing to take risks, to not know what's over the ledge, to not know what's about to happen next. And for the planners, this is terrifying. Because, like, what do you mean? How long is it going to take? Who am I going to meet? When am I going to be back? Do I need to take sandals or do I need to take tennis shoes? But here's the thing. There is no freedom unless you're willing to take risks. There is zero freedom because we have to fight for it. And this is, we're talking spiritually, guys. We have to fight for our freedom. So rejecting slavery and embracing freedom always involves risk. So that thing in our lives that is holding us captive, that we really kind of like to hold on to because it makes us feel comfortable, what risks are we going to have to take to let it go? What scary thing are we going to have to climb over? What are we going to have to place down and walk away for good? But the great thing about being a risk taker is that you may start out on this journey pretty small, pretty weak, but by the end of it, pretty strong, pretty powerful. Got some scars, right? But scars are just proof you made it through and that you survived. And so we need to start embracing those scars. But like the idea of risk is so scary, but is it worth it? I think so.
Your D in your freedom acronym is to determine not to give in to temptation. Determine not to give in to temptation. Hey, guys, can you all lower those house lights? We're going to show this next clip. Harriet was tempted to give up. Here's what it looked like for her.
Vincent! Come on back, peaceful.
Family's worried about you. Your mama's crying. Sister, too. Come on home. Think about jumping. Suicide's a sin against God. And so is it on you, too. I've decided not to sell you after all. The fact is, I'd miss you. Now, you've been there all my life. Like your mama was all my daddy's. Daddy vowed never to sell your mama. And I'm vowing never to sell you. But you can come on back. And I won't hurt you bad. You can stay at home. Stay with John. Stay with us. Would you like that?
I'm gonna be free or die.
Wow. So this is Harriet after she's been on the run for a while, and her former master actually finds her and confronts her. And did you notice how he tried to get her to come back? It's not gonna be that bad. You know it's comfortable back with us. Come on back. It's going to be fine. Just come on back. Man, isn't that how Satan whispers in our ear? Don't you remember how easy this was? Come on back. It's going to be comfortable. You don't have to mess with all this other stuff that is causing anxiety. Just come on back and relax. Isn't that how he gets us? Isn't that how he whispers? What it says in Romans, verse 11, Paul writes, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. You tell that old sin, nope, I'm done, we're dead. That relationship is dead, that lifestyle's dead. He says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Don't go back to that old slavery. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master. You no longer have to be enslaved to that. Guys, one of the things Paul teaches in Romans 6 is that you and I are going to be slaves to something. Whether we are slaves to sin that leads to death, or whether we're slaves to righteousness that leads to life, we're going to be slaves. We have the choice. That word offer that shows up there is a wrestling term. It means to yield. Or if you guys like MMA, you know whenever somebody gets put in an armbar or something, how they tap out? Okay? You can just think of your heart and your mind as you're being wrestled over by sin and righteousness. But you get to decide what you're going to tap out to. You can tap out to sin and stay a slave, or you can tap out to righteousness and find freedom.
So the O in How to Be a Freedom Fighter is obtain help from free people. We're going to watch a clip in just a moment, and it's a longer clip, but I want you to look at this clip and make a mental note of how many people helped along the way. We cannot do this alone. Harriet does not do this alone. You'll see this in this movie. She was by herself on the journey, but she didn't do it alone. And we cannot live this walk that we have been called to live by ourselves. We don't have a me and God relationship. It's a we and God relationship. And so we have to be men and women who are striving to obtain help. And think about those people who have helped you along the way. Think of the names and the faces, the conversations, the rides, the free food, all the things that people have done to help you in your relationship with God. And then we'll come back and talk about this a little bit more after this clip.
I know you're there. Best get out now.
You know a blacksmith around here? Name of Garrett.
Careful, girl. You half dressed. Look half dead. Anyone with eyes can see what you are. The man you're looking for, he's on the corner of 4th and Shipley. No more than half mile west of here.
Thank you, sir.
May I help thee, friend?
Sir. You know a man named Reverend Green?
Yes, I do. Friend, Pennsylvania border. Shall I drive thee across, or would thee prefer to walk alone into freedom?
I walk with the Lord.
Philadelphia is 25 miles. Find the Pennsylvania Anti-Slavery Society and ask for William Still. This is his likeness, so you'll know him when you see him. Until we meet again, God bless thee.
God bless you, sir.
Say everything?
No.
Oh, okay.
So in this scene, she, if you backtrack, she gets directions from the Reverend, and then she gets the stowaway in a little wagon. You notice that? Then she makes it across, and he takes her where she needs to go, meets other free slaves. And then there's a part where she meets the man who runs the Underground Railroad, and she's introduced to him. He helps her find a place to live. She moves into this house with this other woman who was born free. Along this journey, there are so many people who are helping her. So are you searching for the people who are free in your life to help you in your journey? Okay? And then for the ones of us who are free, who are disciples, who are living our lives called to Jesus, are you being lazy in your faith and not looking for the ones who are searching? Because we have been called in our own freedom to go back and help those who are searching for theirs. And sometimes we get so lazy, we get so comfortable because we have already gotten this gift that we forget there are people who are fighting to get theirs. If any of those people along the way hadn't been there on Harriet's journey, she would have not made it. And think of all the people who are on your journey. If any of those people wouldn't have been on your journey, would you have made it? So let's remember that, just obtaining help from those people who are free.
Yeah. And she had help from a lot of people along the journey there. Guys, if those folks had not been there, she would not have made it. And I see, working with churches and leading in churches, I see a lot of people who sometimes start out well. They become disciples, they become Christians, but then somewhere along the way, they get disconnected from that community. And, you know, they may continue with some semblance of faith, but I meet folks like that sometimes that have been disconnected for an extended period of time. And I, because I do this all the time, I'm able to recognize very quickly this person is like a malnourished child spiritually. Like there are all kinds of things they just haven't learned because they haven't been around to be taught. So much of spiritual development is learning how to take the Bible, biblical truth, and just apply it to your life on a daily basis. For instance, when that person cuts me off in traffic, do I cuss them up one side and down the other in my mind? Even if I don't say it out loud. Or do I act like Jesus to them? Well, how do I learn to do that? I need relationships with people that are further down the road than I am, where I'm talking with them about the stuff that's going on in my heart so that they can give me some feedback and help me learn how to apply biblical wisdom to even my inner self. You don't learn to do that on your own, right? You need help. You guys realize Jesus Christ had to learn? When he was a kid, he went to the temple. You guys know that scene in where Jesus is up on at the temple as a 12-year-old boy where he gets lost in Jerusalem for a few days. His parents can't find him. Then he's at the temple. What was he doing at the temple? He was asking questions to the spiritual leaders that were there. He was asking questions. Guys, Jesus asked questions. Jesus had to learn. We're no better than him. Amen? Okay. Your M in our acronym is make fighting for others a priority. Ariel alluded to this. Make fighting for others a priority. When you get freedom, it's not about you. You guys realize God wants to reach you and he wants to use you, but once you've been reached, you got a job to do. And it's no longer about us. What did we say earlier you do with a dead person? You bury him, right? Whenever you come up out of that grave and you're walking with Jesus, who's in charge? Jesus is. What was Jesus all about? Blessing the lives of other people. When you say I'm a disciple of Jesus, you're saying I'm a little Christ, I'm a little Jesus out in the world. Well, I'm going to go do the things Jesus did. And I'm going to go be about the things Jesus was about. And one of the things I love about Harriet's story is whenever people found freedom, they were driven to help other people find freedom. And that's just the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of God, man. He's a liberator. He frees slaves. That's him. That's who he is. I've got a clip I want to show you here. Here's how this played out in Harriet.
I made up my mind. I'm going back. Without my husband and my family, I'm just a stranger in a strange land. If I'm free, they should be too. I'm going to go get them. one by one, starting with my husband. I need a suit for him and a dress for me so I can look like a free lady. Marie, will you help me?
She's saying, man, this is bothering me. My family's still enslaved. I gotta go help them. Will you help me? Man, that's our heart when we're disciples. When you become a Christian, man, that is the best time for you to turn around and help somebody else find Jesus too. Because you've got all those relationships with all those people that have seen the same old you, but as soon as the same old you is dead and then new you is there with Jesus, that's a great opportunity to share that with other people that have known the old you. Guys, whenever I became a Christian, I told you I was wild. I did a lot of drugs. I became a Christian. I changed my whole life. I went and got help from some folks. They helped teach me for a year. I went back and I was able to sit down with all my old drug buddies and I was able to study the Bible with a bunch of them and share the gospel with them, and a bunch of them became Christians. Why? Because they knew the old me. And that, guys, is what Harriet is like here. Her heart is, my family's enslaved. I got to go back and help them. Will you help me go help them? That's what the church is here to help you do. The heart of God. He wants to equip you and use you to bless the lives of other people. But you need help. No? Hello? You need help to be able to do that. Did I break this thing?
There you go.
Check. Oh, there it goes. I think I smacked it. I got passionate, guys. Passionate. Romans 6 says it like this. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. Guys, if we know somebody's enslaved and we can do something about it, what's our obligation? We need to help them, right? That should be your heart. Who in your life is enslaved? Who in your life do you have a relationship with who is enslaved to sin? Maybe you could do something to help them. Maybe you could say something. Maybe you can model something for them. Maybe you can invite them to church. Do you get up and think about those people? Do you pray about those people? Are those people on your mind? Harriet's mind immediately went to the people that she knew close. The people that she knew. That's usually when we start out, that's where our mind goes. Our family, right? You love your family. You love the people that you're close to. But you want to know what it didn't end there for her? Let me show you this next clip.
Evening, Martin.
Evening, Mr. Still.
Who are these people?
This is the committee. The organizers and officers of the Underground Railroad, dedicated to helping slaves escape bondage. No one sees this. Only the initiated.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you a most extraordinary woman, Mrs. Harriet Tubman. Harriet escaped from slavery herself only a year ago, and she's already gone back to liberate others. She brought back 9 souls, lost none. In recognition of her bravery and skill, we welcome her to the committee as a conductor on the railroad.
What's a conductor?
A conductor accompanies slaves or passengers to safe houses or stations run by station masters. The bravest conductors steal slaves directly from the plantation right under the overseer's nose. They have the hardest jobs.
Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day, will I run to the rock? Please hide me and run to the rock. Please hide me and run to the rock. Please hide me, Lord, all on that day. So I ran to the river. It was bleeding to run to the sea. It was bleeding to run to the sea. It was bleeding all on that day. So I ran to the river. It was boiling to run to the sea. It was boiling to run to the sea. It was boiling all on that day. So I ran to the Lord.
You guys know that reward for her got up to $30,000 in the 1800s. We're talking millions of dollars. We're talking FBI top 10, number one most wanted, right? That's Harriet Tubman back then, because she just kept going back. She started out helping her family. It's like, man, I need to reach my family. Let's go. Man, it didn't stop there, did it? She just kept going. It's like, oh, you want to go? You want to go? Come on. You want to go? Let's go. Let's go. Everybody, let's go. She got as many as she could. And if somebody showed up along the way and wanted to go too, she welcomed along. And she took them back. Guys, and that is what you and I need to be like. When people are enslaved to sin, what's going to happen to them if they stay enslaved to sin? They're going to die. It says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from obligation to do right. And what was the result? You're now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. You know what that means, guys? That means these things have eternal consequences, and they're not good. You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that ended in eternal doom, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now, you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Eternal doom and eternal life. Slavery and freedom. God wants to use you to be an instrument of freedom for others, just like he used her. But our consequences are much greater than temporal slavery. We're talking eternal slavery or eternal life.
The very end of that, in verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. When we talk about freedom, we cannot look over the fact that there is just one freedom giver, and that our ability to even have freedom cost him greatly on the cross. We're going to do communion together in just a minute. I really want you guys to think about the cost of the cross, the cost of our freedom for Jesus, because he didn't need to, but that's how much you are loved, and he wants us back home. He not only made a way for us to be free, he provided the way back home. And so we're going to do communion today. I really want you guys to think about the fact that you're free only because what it cost Jesus for our freedom. So we're going to pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the gift of the cross. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you will risk all that you have, give up all that you have and all that you were on this earth so we can come back home, that you provide freedom that we could never have on our own because of your great love for us. Thank you so much for the cross and help us to always remember it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Galatians 5, 13 and 14. This is Paul writing. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." He connects it back to this love. And guys, I just have to say, if we find freedom in Jesus Christ, but we don't have a burning desire to share that freedom with others that are still enslaved to sin, something is wrong. If you're a Christian today, if you're a disciple of Jesus, and you don't have a burning desire to share that freedom with people that are lost, I think you need to ask, am I really a disciple of Jesus? Because Jesus' heart, his heart was to bless a lost world. His heart was to give freedom to people that were still enslaved. And whenever we engage in that mission with God, guys, it might start out small. But as long as we're faithful and over time, man, you want to know what I want, guys? When I get to the end of my life, all I want, like how I will feel fulfilled, like I had a great life, I just want to get to the end of my life and I want to turn around and I just want to see people that get to go to heaven with me. I want my kids to be there. I want my wife to be there. I want my family to be there. But guys, I want more than just that to be there. You guys know there's only one thing you can take with you to heaven, right? And it's other people. It's souls. That's all I want. I got one more clip I want to show you. Harriet's work started out small, but it didn't stay there. Look at this.
Suppose there's a snake coiled at your feet and shoots up to bite you. Folks get scared and send for a doctor to cut out the bite. But the snake, he roll up dead. While the doctor cutting, bites you again. In a new place this time. Finally, you realize the snake ain't gonna stop till someone kills him. Slavery is still alive. Those rice fields downriver are feeding rebel troops with the toil of 1,000 slaves still in bondage. Our mission is to free those slaves. We've waited years to be allowed to fight in this war against our own enslavement, and it will not be won without us. Now is our time. You ready to kill the snake?
Yes!
Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God is gonna trouble these waters.
Ready?
At the end of my life, I want to be a woman who leaves a legacy of fighting for people, who took risks, who went back for people, despite how afraid I was or how scary it might be. What legacy do you want to leave behind? What do you want to be remembered for? Who cares if you win the lottery, have all the money, the nicest house, the nicest car, the coolest job ever, if you don't get to take your brothers and sisters with you? And so I love the story ending on, it starts so small and it ends so big. And so God wants to do that with your story, maybe with your friend next door, and then maybe your neighbor and a coworker, because God is a big God who likes to do big things, and we need to be people who believe that he's going to use us for big things.
Do you guys think Harriet, whenever she first started seeking freedom, ever thought her life would end the way that it did? Do you think that was like, oh, that's what I'm going to do with my life? No, that's where she found herself, because she continued following her passions. Guys, Harriet Tubman was a disciple. She's a disciple of Jesus Christ. We see that in her life as she continued to fight for people her whole life. Guys, even after the Civil War was over, she opened a home for the elderly because there was nowhere for them to go. She's like, I'll take care of that. She opened a farm just for blacks that didn't have anywhere to go. She gave 30 people a place to live for life, for free. They had to just come work the farm. Became a family for them. And there's been, we could go on. There's so many things she did that she continued doing. She's a disciple. She's a hero in our history, but guys, she's just a disciple. She didn't set out to be a hero. She just set out to be faithful. And that's what I want us to do. Guys, you realize we're planting churches here. You guys realize this little group here started out small, but it's grown a little bit, and it's continuing to do so, and we got big plans. And some of you guys that have just become disciples, you're like, I just want to be faithful. Guys, I want you to catch a vision of what God is going to do in your life. Not because you want to be made much of, not because you want to be famous, not because you want to be looked at as a hero, but just because you want to be faithful, God is going to take those of you that are faithful and he's going to do some amazing things with you.
Yep.
He's going to do some amazing things with you. I can't wait, guys. In 20 years, I can't wait to see what God is going to do with some of you guys, with your passions and your talents and all the things you have to give to God. I can't wait to see it. But you want to know what? You just got to be faithful. You got to have his heart. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, even though I'm free, a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many people to Christ. Have you guys heard of the Apostle Paul? Did God use him powerfully? Well, we're still talking about him 2,000 years later, right? Do you think that's what he set out to be, the guy that we'd still be talking about 2,000 years later? It's like, oh, that's my goal in life. I want to be famous. I want people I don't know to know my name. No, that's not his. He just is trying to be faithful. He says, I'm going to be a slave to all people because I want to win them to Christ. Because I want to get to the end of my life and I want to look behind me and I just want to see a bunch of people coming with me. That's my goal. And look at what God has done with him. And guys, all of this is modeled after the heart of Jesus Christ. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's his heart. He went into enemy territory and he gives us freedom. Amen? We're going to wrap up today. But I want you to know, if you're a disciple, you're called to be a freedom fighter. If you're a disciple, you're called to die to yourself, you're called to get equipped, you're called to turn around and spread that freedom with others. And I just want to ask you as we close out today, how can we help you be the person God is creating you to be? Are there things in your life that you're struggling with? Guys, it doesn't matter what it might be. If there's anything in your life that's holding you back, I want to encourage you to get help. And the Crossings is a safe place where you can get help. Guys, nobody here is going to look down on you. Nobody here is probably going to hear anything new from you that we haven't heard a whole bunch of times before or even experienced ourselves. The thing that God is in the business of, he's in the business of helping people become whole. He's in the business of fixing brokenness. He's in the business of fixing relationships. He's in the business of fixing marriages. He's in the business of fixing hearts. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with a sin or a relationship or anything, I want to encourage you to respond this morning. I want to encourage all of us, members and guests alike, to go ahead and pull out that cardstock piece of paper that's in your bulletin. It's called a communication card. Everybody pull that out and hold it up for me. Let me see them. All right, we know what those are. That's got a space there for you to fill out your information. It's also got a space for you to respond. And I want to encourage you to go ahead and start filling that out. And if there's anything we can do to help you, we would love to do that. If you're interested in small groups, that best thing we have going on here at the Crossings is our small group ministry. If you're interested in becoming a member of the church, or if you're interested in just checking out a relationship with God, indicate on your card that you'd like a personal Bible study, and we will follow up with you. It's not formal, guys. It's a couple of friends getting together and talking about their relationship with God. One more thing. We've got a card in there for our 101 class that's coming up on October the 2nd. If you have been interested in becoming a member of the Crossings, or if you recently became a Christian and consider the Crossings your church home, I want to encourage you to sign up for that 101 class. It's Saturday, October 2nd, starts at 9 in the morning. 101 is required for membership. We take you through and just kind of talk about what's going on with the church. We talk about our culture, we talk about our values, and how you can best plug in. If you can't make it that day, we offer it usually once a quarter, but I want to encourage you to come and sign up. You can indicate on your communication card that you'd like to enroll in that, and we will get you signed up. But if there's anything else we can help you with, we would love to. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song. That's going to give you an opportunity to fill that card out. Then we'll sing one more song after that and pass some baskets, and you can drop that card in there. So please respond this morning, okay? Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for, God, heroes like Harriet. And Father, I know she didn't set out to be a hero. She just set out to be faithful. I pray that we'll take a lesson from that this morning. And God, where she was a great example, we will follow that because her example is based in being faithful to Jesus. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.